If you'd like to turn your Bibles to the Epistle of Peter, the Letter of Peter, First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. As we read in the first two verses, Peter is writing a letter to people that are scattered across the Middle East there. People who've been chosen and sanctified by God. And he says, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, who having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believe you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Of this salvation the prophets, having inquired and searched carefully, you prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Amen. You know, when you have a meal, and I don't know, you've had a big meal, and the cheese and crackers come out. I remember going with a meal with some friends from work, two colleagues, and we'd had a lovely Christmas dinner, and I don't mind putting up too well, because if I don't, but I would prefer something savoury. And he said to the gentleman who was serving, and he said, do you have a cheese platter? And he said, no, I haven't. He said, just give me a minute. And he came back, and Christmas time, and oh, it's just amazing, this platter of all kinds of cheeses. And I remember saying to my mate Ray, look, we're going to have to take our time with this. Big chunks of cheese, but let's not rush it. Let's just savour every moment. Although the poor bloke who gave us the cheese didn't weren't really happy, because I think he'd taken it out of his wife's pantry. She's all ready for Christmas and he'd taken it. Oh, just so rich. So rich. You know, a light meringue, you can just gone in a moment. It's just deep, rich cheese. And the more I look at this passage, I think I've gone farther than I have. But then I come back and I sit before it on a Monday morning and I realise I'm only on verse 3 of the first letter, and you just think, but I feel as if I've gone so far in it. And this letter reminds us of the glory of God and the hope that we have in it. And you just think, oh, what more have we got to share with us? And hopefully we, as we go through it, and I was going to just quickly go through it, but I just think there's so much in this letter. that we just need to just linger a little while. When I'm 95 and I'm still in verse 5 of chapter 2, maybe you can object and tell me, but oh. He says there in verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. You have planted within the earth vessel the living Christ, the seed of Christ. God, a very God, one day. But for unknown reasons to us, from before the foundations of the world, decided that he would step into your life. Worthy mind of grace that is given, and worthy to hold to his hand. And he just, this is just magnificent today. There's not a word to describe what God has done for us. And you see, the Apostle Peter is reminding the church there in the midst of their turmoil and the turmoil they were going through. He said, listen, there is power in the word of God. In your darkest moment, you have something that is so precious. And as we reminded ourselves this morning, Paul said, though I am ashamed, the word of God is free. There in the darkest prison, you can share the word of God. When you are stripped of everything, you have the word of God. You are living letters. As you have been scattered throughout the world, it's a little bit like, I often laugh, my dear wife, when she gets rid of all the dandelions in our garden. And I say, you look, there's a meadow opposite us. We've got no hope. You've got no hope of getting rid of the dandelions. You will never get rid of them. And you see, God has sent his seed throughout the world. The devil has no hope. He will never rid this planet of the Church of Jesus Christ. Because you see, they have a great tool, great weapon, the sword of truth. They have the word of God, and we read there, don't we, there in Romans 1. And I remember a young man speaking at the first time I ever preached in the open air, terrified, and I said, what on earth can I share, and what to say? And I spent time thinking about it, and I was drawn to that verse, tremendous verse, isn't it? There in Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed. I remember shouting as loud as I could. I wanted the world to know, and I didn't want them to notice me as long as they noticed my voice. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. You see, as we preach the word of God, it only exposes in the hearts of men and women what's already there. And we delicately shoot around the issues. I sat next to a young lad at the meeting on Friday, had some lovely conversations, and I've never really plucked up the courage to ask him where he stands spiritually, because I didn't want to offend him, I don't want to hurt him, and sometimes as a pastor of a church he can come across a bit heavy, and I just sat with him after he'd finished preaching this message on the preciousness of Christ, and I turned to him and said, do you know him? Do You know, the Lord knows, waiting for almost a sarcastic comment. And he said, when I turned 18, he said, I realised. He said, I need this Saviour. I need this Lord. He's got a messy life and he's not able to get to church as he wants to because of various things. But I said to him, listen, go and tell your elder. Go and tell your youth leader. And thrill their hearts and they will guide and encourage. Why does that happen? Because you see the power of the gospel. It begins to change the heart of a man or a woman. Do you believe that? This is the question. Do you believe it? Do you have that confidence in the gospel? Do you? Do you have the confidence that if you could only share the word of God, it could change those who listen on? I know I've got to have that confidence. Because you get up here Sunday after Sunday and as you preach, people fall asleep and people sometimes, you can almost feel his attention, and come on, hurry up. And I've preached for over 20 odd years and you've got to believe that word is like a bow adventure that will strike the heart of someone. That people will be fed. That people will be changed. And you see, whether I believe it or not, they're the facts. There is power in the gospel. Remember the young maid in Naaman's household? She believed with all her heart that if her master went to see the prophet, he would be healed. This young girl, she didn't sit under the systematic teaching of a pastor every week. But she had seen and heard of this great prophet. She'd obviously been taught as a young girl. There she's a slave in the house of a foreigner. I can't wait to see this young maid when I get to heaven. Of all the people in the Bible, she's thrilled my heart. She's reminded me of the fact that no matter what your circumstances are, that we're not to look be full of bitterness, that we're not to be full of frustration. You know, sometimes when we fall into moods and frustrations, we hold on to it and we want to wound the person more and more. And you see, she could have spent all her days wounding Naaman for robbing her of her family. But no. You read there in 2 Kings 5 verse 3. If only. What a stupid statement to come out with. What madness. They would have laughed at her. If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. What courage it must have taken for her to speak to her mistress and say this to her. She wasn't just talking to anybody. He was next to the emperor. He was next to the highest man in the land. She suggested ludicrous thing. You see, this is the thing about the gospel. It is ludicrous for those who come. It's madness. It's foolishness. God can take the vilest sinner. God can take a man, a woman whose life is in utter ruins. And that seed is planted within them. And they're changed forever. And we've seen it, haven't we? We've tasted it ourselves. The wonder of it. Leprosy was incurable. Who is this man? Well, he was a man sent by God. That's who that man was. Why on earth do people stand in Bedford Town Centre on a Tuesday afternoon to give out gospel tracts? Yes, they're willing to be fools for Christ. Boy, when Peter Harrison said outreach in Nuneaton and Hinckley, whoa, when he bothered giving his time? Because he believed with all his heart when he and Mel that if someone could just hear the gospel, it would change their life forever. Well, says Peter, you have within you the word of life. Isn't that incredible? We just read these passages and we can skip over them so easily. You have been chosen, he said. You have been chosen and loved by the Father in his eternal counsel. You have been sanctified. You have been made holy by the power of the Holy Spirit through that which was accomplished by the shedding of Christ's blood at Calvary. The whole of the Godhead has worked together from eternity past until now, working out your salvation. My dear friend, my brothers and sisters, we have within us a living, vibrant hope. It says there, we read, don't we? Blessed be the God. You can just imagine it. Here's this man who cursed the name of his Savior. This man who thought that all was gone, and yet there he sat and he breakfast with his Savior. And the Savior just blessed him. Oh, as he writes those words, you could just imagine him thinking, shall I put that blessed again? You can imagine him saying, no, I'll do it another time. Blessed. I just want people to know about my God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has made us alive, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. My father often says to me, you might as well spend my inheritance before I go. He has said in the past, well, you'll be alright when your mother and I go. I hope your mother doesn't fool me, Dad, because she'll have spent it all. But the thing is, it'll all fade away, won't it? Whatever we get, it might not be there. We want them, we don't want them, we don't want what they've got, we want them. But the thing is, even if I had a father who was a multi-millionaire, and I could buy all the things in this world, that's not for it to fade away. And if that didn't fade away, I'll fade away. It means absolutely nothing. But he's saying, listen, you've been given something, and the Apostle Paul reminds us that the inner man grows stronger every day, whereas the older man dies away, preparing us for that day when we will get that new and glorified body. You should imagine it on that day, if I happen to see Wendy at all, and there is no giving or taking in marriage, but I often wonder if I'll have the same similar sort of body in heaven. I can just imagine her saying, I've told you to lose weight, I've told you for years to lose weight, and you know, how happy even in heaven. But I'll say to my love, I'm in heaven. This is the wonder of it. Isn't it wonderful? And it will never, ever fade away. And because this hope is living, it should be growing. And it should be growing. And the more that we grow, the more we become like the giver. It's just part of the whole of creation, isn't it? As I said so many times, you put a broad bean in the ground, you will get a broad green plant. You put an orange pip in the ground, you get orange trees. The seed of Christ is planted into your heart. The world will see Christ. He is the one that will invade your very being. Peter reminds us in verse 24, he says, and they all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. You see, time destroys our hopes, but not for the Christian. As time goes on, our hope becomes more real and more glorious. He talks about that joy inexpressible and full of glory, doesn't he? And all my Christian life I've sought this wonder of this experience. For I think it's something we grow into. And you see, if we've been on the Christian walk for many years and we don't taste of that, we need to ask ourselves, where are we walking? Because you see, we should have a deeper understanding of the things of Christ now than ever we did have. He should thrill every moment of our day. Yes, life is difficult, life is hard. But you see, when you look full face into the sun, what else do you see? God's in his blind, isn't it? You see, when Christ has filled your heart and mind, such is his glory, nothing else matters. It's all that takes over your heart and your mind. Every year we are reminded, aren't we, of the Christian's hope as the plants grow. And you wait, don't you? You wait for the moment when you see the splendour of the freshness of their delicate leaves and the flowers as they come out. It's a reminder of one day when we have this new body, we will be like him. And if we're not growing, we need to ask, is there a work within me? If we are not changing from glory to glory, this hope we have is an inheritance. We have a share in God's inheritance. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? He says there in verse 4, doesn't he? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We that, don't we, about, you know the old joke, if you're dissatisfied in the church, don't go to the perfect one because then you'll ruin it. There's no perfect church, but there is. One day we will go to a perfect church. And we will not defile it. We will not become grubby or ruined. Because you see, we will be perfect as he is perfect. And we will delight in all the things that God's children should delight in. We're reminded there in Romans 8 verse 17. He says, and if children, talking about the fact that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God. Well, of course, it would never be if God was, it's blasphemy to even think of it, but just to say God was not to be, we would not be heirs, we'd be God. We cannot be sustained without God. God will always be and always has been. And so we will never, but we will always be heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. There's a dying of the self as we come to the message of the gospel, and we bow our heart in submission to who God is, and we take him by his mercy as his saviour, and we begin this work of change, of sanctification, this work of holiness, changing from one a place of holiness to another as God is shaping us for his kingdom. Ephesians 1 verse 9 says, having made known to us the majesty of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. God has done a mighty work in us. John 17 verse 22, this is just, you can turn to it with me if you want. Oh, just a
tremendous passage. If it wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't believe it.
There in John 17, verse, I'll read from verse 20. The Lord's praying for all believers. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. This glorious picture of the oneness in Christ. And he goes on to say, and the glory, the weight of your majesty, which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. We have been given the glory of God. Can you imagine such a statement? Oh, I don't know about you, but it makes me feel ashamed when I live like a grubby sinner. No, I should be living like someone full of the glory of the Most High God. What a picture. We have been taken from darkness. We have been taken from corruption to His most marvelous light. His light of incorruption that will never, never fade. We read there in verse 5 to 9, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. He's saying to them, look, life is not going to be easy. But I want to remind you of your position in Christ. That you have been saved, but there is more. We wait for this. Listen, this completion. Be patient. God is going to do this. God is going to change you in a moment. Oh, what a day that will be. Though you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul, at the appearing of Christ. Do you long for that now? Or would you rather see the end of canal boat trips? Would you rather see the end of, or would you rather get that thing sorted out? Or would you rather see the world? What would you rather do? Would you rather? Well, for the child of God, it should be just a longing for that day. Oh, what a day that would be. Do you ever sit there? I do sometimes. I sit there and I just think, I wonder what it'd be like. You know? Oh, I suddenly appeared on the beach and Peter's in that boat, and there was such love. There was such compassion and mercy. Our Saviour, our big brother, He will come and He will take us. The more you meditate on Him, the more you grow in grace, and the greater the thrill is that fills your heart. And one of the lovely things he says in this, in verse 5 is, uses that word, are kept. Who are kept. Now every time I go on holiday, there's always that fear that there's been some mix up. It's just the way I am, I'm so easy to forget things. I remember one year, we got everything in the car, so it was just amazing. I felt so free. Well, obviously, the reason was I hadn't taken any of the deck chairs or the windbreak or anything, just at home. But we were nearly there, it wasn't worth coming back. And you just, I've turned up and I've gone to the reception and I haven't had the receipt. So glad you can have it on your phones now. And it's such a disappointment and a frustration. But you see, even if you have a receipt, It doesn't always go to plan. I remember as a young lad,
as a little boy, it wasn't funny for my uncle and auntie, but to us as children, it used to make us laugh. I remember one year at my uncle and auntie, we'd gone from one place and they said, why don't you have, they're being kind, and we'd swap caravans. Our caravan was amazing. And their caravan was up against the hedge, and my auntie, you can talk to Elizabeth later, and she had stories to tell of all the ants and all this and all that. I remember one day we came home from church, and Derek walked out of the caravan with the chicken that had been cooking all morning, and there was just a little brown spot on the top. God, so frustrated they were, and so disappointed. But you see, not with God. You will never even. How is he not disappointed with me? He lied to me because of what his son has done for me. But not with God, he's our inheritance. He is the guarantee of our inheritance. And what he will give us will be more than we could ever imagine. But you see, if you're not a child of God this afternoon, if you haven't had this work of grace in your heart, you cannot claim this promise. Up and down our land, there are those that are claiming this promise, but they have never tasted. They gather around the Lord's table, and they partake in the bread and the wine, but there has never been a time in their life when they have called upon the mercy of God to save their souls. Their life is on a collage, a bit of this and a bit of that. But you see, for the child of God, what promises? We are being kept. In fact, that word to be kept is like a military term. It means to be guarded. You have sentinels, don't you? You don't leave these posts empty. When there is war or when there is something in a barracks, you have a man or a woman, you have a soldier there guarding at all times. And you see, this whole picture is of being kept continuously. Finish with this. That thought, aren't you glad that you're not being kept by your own power? We are so united to Christ in faith that his power guards us and leads us. We read there in Romans 8, verse 30. Romans 8 verse 30, it says, moreover, he whom he predestined, he chose, he called, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. You see, God has given us his glory. Why has he done that? Because he knows. He doesn't give it to anybody, but he's given us his glory, his guarantee that one day we will taste of such fullness. But up until then, we haven't got time now. Peter does say to them, listen, you're going to go through trials, you're going to go through difficulties, but you need to know. You need to know. That is one day you'll be called home, and one day you'll taste the things that you never thought mortal man could ever know. Well, then we won't be mortal man, we will be immortal. We will have taken on Christ and we will live for him forevermore. And Peter shared this with these poor Christians that have been scattered throughout at the Middle East, and just so lonely and fearful. Please remember,
you are being kept, and you have tasted of the glory of our God. Amen. We're going to close by singing our final hymn. Should we have "There is a Fountain"? That would be a good song. Is that the one I said? Okay. "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's hand, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains." That in the midst of all the things we say and do, we are living in Vanity Fair, as it were. And so easily, Lord, we lose sight of what we have in Christ. Lord, we pray that in some way, in some supernatural way, you would reveal yourself through your word. Lord, that we would grasp the vibrancy of knowing Christ. Lord, for some of us, we have grown cold. Some of us, Lord, need to take the place of our Saviour as it ought. Lord, we pray that maybe this day will be the day that we would say, Lord, help me to taste of all that is mine. Mine. Because of what Christ has done for me. Oh, Father, we thank you for this. Oh, Lord, continue to thrill our hearts. In the name of our wonderful Saviour. Amen. Amen.